Well, good morning. My name is Chris Norman. I'm on the leadership team here at Grace, and we're glad that you're here this morning. Last Sunday, I was watching one of the football playoff games, and my daughter came up to me, my six-year-old daughter came up to me and said, "Daddy, I want you to build me a dollhouse out of wood for my dolls as a restaurant, and I want you to build it today." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, I want a restaurant for my dolls." And I said, "Well, hon, I don't know if we have wood. And even if we did have wood, I don't think I could build a restaurant dollhouse." She said, "Well, Dad, let's go in the garage and get some wood, and I'll tell you how to build it." And so, it was a big game, playoffs. And so I'm trying to watch the game and I'm thinking, okay, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't have any wood, I don't think. And even if I did, I don't think it's going to work. And so, a little bit later, she asked me again and I say, "Honey, I'm just not sure we can do that." And so a little bit later, she says, as I'm trying to watch the game, she says, "Isn't your daughter more important than this game?" Now, she said that from the other side of the room, and I didn't really clearly hear what she said, plus it was a crucial point in the game, and so I didn't respond. And then she paused, and she says, this is the honest truth, she says, "I'm telling the church." Now, I had to ask my wife what she said, because I just heard a glimpse of it and part of it. It was one of those classic quotes that as a parent you want to write down and never forget. I'll tell you how the story ends a little bit later, but my daughter had a vision, a clear picture of a preferred future, and that preferred future included a dollhouse as a restaurant for her dolls. What happens when you lose your dreams and your clear pictures of a preferred future? What happens when you no longer have vision for your future? What ends up happening is, without vision, it turns into hopelessness. And hopelessness eventually spirals you down and eventually into death. One of the responsibilities of the church, and one of the things that we see Jesus doing as he's discipling his followers, is he instills in them vision and hope for the future, a clear picture of what God desires for the future. And so as Jesus discipled his followers in these things, it is a part of our discipleship mandate as a church to instill in you vision and hope for the future. A clear picture of what God wants to see happen in your life and in the lives around you. And so it's a part of our discipleship mandate as a church. It's also a part of your discipleship mandate as a follower of Jesus. As you invest and disciple others, one of the things you are to be doing is instilling in them vision and hope of a preferred future. And so what is to be our vision? What is to be our hope? What is the clear picture of a preferred future for a follower of Jesus? Well, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it with me to Matthew chapter 6. A little bit later in our service, we're going to have some baptisms. We have several being baptized. If anyone else feels led to be baptized this morning, because they want to become a follower of Jesus or have made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, we invite you to do that as well. And let me tell you kind of where we're going with this message this morning. I want to accomplish two things. I want to remind us as a church what our vision is. And secondly, I want to communicate a couple of areas of focus for us as a church in the first half of 2014. So those are the two things I want to accomplish in the message. Reestablishing our mission and vision, and also a couple of areas of focus for us in 2014. And so we look at Matthew chapter 6, and we begin at verse 5. And Jesus' disciples were asking him how they should pray and if he would teach them to pray. And so it says this, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now we know throughout the scriptures there are two kind of foundational theological pillars that are woven throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. They are covenant and kingdom, relationship and responsibility. We know God desires a relationship with us, and He also gives us the responsibility to represent Him. And so we see covenant and kingdom woven throughout the Bible. And so when Jesus is asked, teach us how to pray, and He begins teaching them how to pray, we see at the very beginning of this prayer, covenant language, which is relationship language, and then immediately after we see kingdom language. And so this is how you should pray, Jesus says. Our Father, our Dad in heaven. It's about relationship. God's your dad. He loves you. He's adopted you into His family. That's covenant. That's relationship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's not only about covenant, our relationship with God, but it's also about kingdom, the responsibility to represent Him and advance His kingdom on the earth. So this is how you should pray. Dad, your name is holy. You're perfect in all ways. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's kingdom language. Whatever's true in heaven, may that be true on earth. It's the ultimate picture of a preferred future. As we look around us and we see the brokenness around us, what's true in heaven, may that be true here and now. The ultimate picture of a preferred future. For every Christian, we know this world is not our home. As the old hymn says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. We all have dreams and hopes for the future. That place far away that's different than this broken world that we currently live in. A time when we'll be living on the new earth with no pain and no sickness and no conflict and no pride and no sin and no death and perfect love. We all have this picture of what life will be one day for those who follow Jesus. But Jesus says, here's how you should pray. Here's what your desire should be. May what is true in heaven and what will be true that in the future, May that be here and now. May what will be someday take place in our reality today. All that's true there, we want to see true here. This is vision. This is the preferred future. And after Jesus' identity was revealed at His baptism, where the Father said, "This is My Son," covenant language, relationship language, "This is My Son whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased," His identity is revealed. Then the kingdom mission is revealed afterwards as Jesus goes back to His hometown in Nazareth. And we read this in Luke chapter 4, beginning verses 16 through 19. It says this: "He went to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent Me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" What is that vision and mission that we read? It is what will be in heaven. All of those things that He communicates as He reads the scroll of Isaiah is what will take place on the new earth. And what Jesus is saying is all that will be true in the future is now being true today. There will be no blind people in heaven. And so blind people are now receiving their sight right now. There will be no oppressed people in heaven. And so I am releasing people and freeing people from oppression. There will be no conflict between God and man in heaven. And so I'm restoring that conflict and bringing healing. This is the vision that you have as a follower of Jesus. This is your preferred picture of the future. But your vision is not just that this will happen one day when we're in heaven or we're on the new heaven and new earth. Your vision as a follower of Jesus is that you'll experience it right here and now. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not only for tomorrow or one day, it's for today. And I'm going to show you how it's for today. And then I'm going to disciple you to implement this for today. And that's exactly what He did over the next 3 years. God wants our dreams and our visions not only to be about the future and our hope for the future. As Revelation 21 tells us, on the new heaven and the new earth, He wants us also to have this vision and dream for this to take place on the here, at the here and now on this earth today. And so let's be real clear, however. Even though this may be our vision, that we want to see everything that's true in heaven come to earth, let's be realistic. It's simply not going to be fully that way. That's our vision. That's our dream. That's what Jesus instilled in His disciples. But we'll never fully realize the implication of this until the new heaven and the new earth. But what we can see here and now are glimpses. Glimpses of what the future life on the new heaven and the new earth will be like. What are these glimpses? What is His will being done on earth today, like it will be in heaven tomorrow? Or in fact, right now, the way it is in heaven. What are some glimpses? Let me give you some suggestions. Some areas where heaven comes to earth. How about racism and prejudice? When someone stands up against racism and prejudice, that's heaven coming to earth. That's God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the things I love about interracial marriages is that it's a picture of heaven. It's heaven coming to earth. One of the things I love about interracial families, it's a beautiful picture of heaven coming to earth. Or how about injustice? When someone stands up against injustice, that's heaven coming to earth today, because there will be no injustice in heaven. How about poverty? When you reach out and meet the needs, food, clothing, and shelter of those who don't have these things, what you're doing is you're bringing heaven to earth. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. How about abortion? When the rights of the unborn are protected, this is heaven coming to earth. Materialism. When we move away from always wanting more, and we're content with what we have, that's God's will on earth being done as it is in heaven. We will be fully content in heaven. How about sickness? When someone gets healed because they take medication or because they have a surgery or because someone prayed or maybe a combination of all of them, whenever someone gets healed, for whatever way they get healed, whatever means they get healed, when they get healed, that's heaven coming to earth. That's God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, we know there will be no sickness. Or how about spiritual death? When someone places faith in Jesus and becomes a follower of Jesus and is restored back to God, that is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, all of these things will be fully realized in the new heaven and the new earth, where every follower of Jesus will live forever. But our vision and dream is that we don't just wait for that to happen in the future, but that we see glimpses of it today. And God's using you, He's using me, He's using us together to accomplish these things. We are seeing these things accomplished through us. This is our vision. This is our passion. This is our picture of the future. And this is what many of you are doing. And we praise God for it. In fact, this is the way we word our vision formally as a church, Grace Gathering. Here's our vision as a church. Our vision as a church is to see the beautiful picture of heaven. You can read this right on our website. To see the beautiful picture of heaven experienced on earth. Every time someone becomes a follower of Jesus, or someone gets healed of a sickness, or the marginalized get defended, or evil is resisted, the kingdom of God is at hand. What is Grace's vision? That's what it is. You want to know what our church is about? That's what it is. Clear and simple. What's our strategy, you ask, for accomplishing this vision? I'll tell you. Here's our strategy. Our strategy for seeing God's kingdom expressed here on earth is the same strategy Jesus used when He was here. He discipled people to have His character and to have His skill at engaging in mission. We want to see people grow in these two areas of living and leading like Jesus. We disciple people to have a relationship with God, that's character, and then to engage in mission here and now to see His kingdom come to earth. So there it is, clearly and succinctly, what we are about as a church. Hopefully, this is your vision as well. Well, let me just take a little bit of time here and share a couple of areas of focus for us as we think about the year 2014 as it pertains to our family here at Grace. And then I'll make just some closing comments and go back to that story with my daughter. And so one of the areas of focus for us here in the first half of 2014 is that we are going to do a four-week series that will kick off a two-year financial campaign to try to pay off the rest of this facility. We're calling it Completing the Journey. So back in 2000, we owned a building here in New Haven. We were growing out of the building, growing into multiple services. And we bought this land here, which is 83 acres of land. And we started this journey of actually this location move. And so we knew we needed about $2.5 million. We needed to borrow about $2.5 million to get started on this building. Well, we looked at about 20 to 25 financial institutions, and every one of them said, "You guys aren't big enough as a church to sustain a $2.5 million mortgage." So the answer is no, and every other institution will tell you no as well. And they were right. And then in 2005, 2006, around that area, Grable Bank said, "Yes, we will give you that loan." They said yes when everyone else said no. And so we built this facility. We moved into it in 2006. And we've been on this journey. And here, last month, we made another extra mortgage payment that brought our loan amount from 7 digits to 6 digits for the first time ever. And so, in fact, if you look at our journey in an overview over the last several years, you can see that in year 2000, when we owned our building in New Haven, we owned it for $400,000. That was all of our assets in 2000. Today, we own this building, which this building's worth about $4 million. The land's worth about $1 million. So we have an asset of about $5 million. And now our total debt is just under the $1 million mark, which is absolutely astonishing. Grable Bank, they are so glad that they gave us that loan. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. No one said this could happen. But we believed in faith that God was going to provide. And He has provided in unprecedented ways. Here's what happened the last financial journey we had. We had pledges that were $1.3 million, and we received $1 million. And so we finished that financial campaign almost a year ago, last spring. And so now with our debt just under $1 million, we believe that we're within striking distance of knocking that completely out, which is absolutely unheard of in the time frame that we'd be able to do this. And by the way, obviously, we're just a bunch of ordinary people. Now, church financial analysts talk about two types of giving in the church. Call it right pocket giving, left pocket giving. Right pocket giving is the giving that we give on a regular basis, whether it's weekly or monthly, however you give, that is for the operation of the church. Ministries, mission, vision, the building, staffing, all that kind of stuff. That's right pocket giving. That's the giving that we give on a regular basis. Many of us, it's around 10%. Left pocket giving is giving over and above regular giving. Maybe it's for a missionary, or it's for some project, or it's for someone in need. And so we're giving right pocket to the church on a regular basis, and our left pocket is the extra giving that we give whenever we want to give, and we feel the need to give. What's amazing about what we've done here at Grace is that we've had the regular right pocket giving regular that's gone on throughout the years, and this building has been given exclusively on left pocket giving, which means that's been giving over and above regular giving. And so we're going to have this series that will start at the end of April. It will end May 18th, this four-part series. And we'll ask every family member who feels prompted by God to make a pledge. And we'll ask the pledge to be one of three areas. What is your regular giving pledge? That's your right pocket giving. That's just regular giving. What is that pledge? Then what is your building fund pledge, which is your sight portion, which means this is what I think I can give based on sacrifice. And then here's my faith portion. Here's a portion that I will pledge, and I have no idea where God will provide for this, but I'm just going to pledge it by faith. And you know that if you've been around Grace for a while, we've never had a financial campaign that has ever felt like it's about money or about pressure. It's always been about a spiritual journey, simply asking God to speak to us and then responding. It's a stretching time for us spiritually, and it's a growing time for us, and it is going to be an exciting time. I could stand up here and tell you story after story of the way God's provided for us as families in this church financially, and how He's provided for our church family. And I'm convinced this will be another one of those miraculous times for us as a church. Well, let me tell you the second area of focus, and then we'll close our thoughts with our vision. The second area of focus is, many of you have heard of the author Rick Warren. He wrote the book Purpose Driven Life a few years ago. Many churches went through a series, and his church actually went through this intentional plan on how to take care of your physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How to establish a healthy lifestyle. Well, he wrote a book that just came out last month called The Daniel Plan. And his church in Southern California has created resources for churches like the Purpose Driven Life to go through this together. There are five aspects to the plan. The first is food, trying to eat more healthy. The second is fitness, trying to have some plan for exercise for your body. The third is friendship, how to do this with others and not feel alone. The fourth is focus, how to make this a lifestyle, not just a fad. And the fifth, which is the most important, is faith, how to have God at the center, realizing this is a spiritual journey that we're on, trying to take care of our bodies. It's an issue of stewardship so that we can be responsive to the things God has for us. Here's the thing. We all want to be healthy. I don't know anyone who wants to be sick. And how we feel physically affects where we're at in with our goals in life. When I'm sick and when I feel lousy, I don't really feel like discipling people. And I don't really feel like extending myself in mission. When I feel lousy and when I feel sick, it affects my whole life. It affects also my responsiveness to God's calling. There are things that are with our health are outside of our control. But sometimes our health is the direct result of our choices. And the healthier choices we make, the healthier we become. And so for all of us, it's a spiritual battle to get healthier. And so we're going to spend 6 weeks as a church talking about holistic health, being good stewards of our body so that we can be effective and more effective for God's kingdom. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it. It's far easier to do it when others are doing it with us. And so it's going to be a lot of fun for us to take this journey together. We have a lot of different mission communities and ministries at Grace that are pursuing all kinds of different things. It's good once in a while, periodically, to say we're going to do something together as a church. And so your mission community, your small group, more than welcome to do this journey with us. There are small group resources that we'll provide as well. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, it'd be a great time for us to do something together. Here's a 2-minute video that gives an overview of the Daniel Plan that we'll be doing here starting in about 5 weeks. So we're going to start this on February 16th, and I'll be doing six messages on the Daniel plan. We'll also have, like I said, small group resources available. You can let us know if your small group or your mission community, or if you want to start one in your neighborhood or with some other folks, or maybe as an outreach to those who wouldn't typically do a Bible study, opportunity to outreach to those people of peace around you. But an opportunity for us to do this together as a church. Like I said, we're going to do a lot of creative things. It's going to be a really fun time for us. And the goal here isn't just simply so that we can lose weight or look better. The goal is stewardship. The goal is we want to be as healthy as we possibly can, the things that are in our control, so that we can fulfill in the best way we can the calling that God has in our life, knowing that the healthier we are, the more opportunity that there is for that. One of the areas of health is when you ask someone to pray for you because of your health, that's because you want your body healthy. And so being vulnerable with others and asking them to pray is a part of a healthy lifestyle for a follower of Jesus. I want my body healthy, and when it's sick or when I'm struggling in an area of my body, I reach out and I ask someone to pray for me. It's a part of being a good steward. And so we're going to do this together. And there's a website right there that is our website, and you can let us know. We're going to pre-order books and small group resources, but we need to know probably within the next week if you'd like us to pre-order you a book and or small group resources, because we can get them for a little bit of a discount. So you can sign up online with that website, or you can go to our Connection Center after the service and say, hey, look, yeah, I'd love to be a part of a group. I don't have anyone. I don't know anyone here at Grace, but I'd love to be a part of one. You can let them know that. Or, yeah, our group would like to go through this. We want to pre-order resources. Whatever way you'd like to do it. Well, let me close by going back to the story about my daughter. So she wants me to build her this Dow House restaurant. She has a vision of what it would look like. My response is, I don't think we can do it. I don't think we can fulfill this dream you have. She's the visionary, and I'm what? I'm the realist. Okay? And visionaries need realists, and realists need what? Visionaries. Now, this is a little bit of an awkward position for me because I'm usually on the other side. I'm usually the visionary, and people are coming to me and saying, I don't know if that really can happen, Chris. And so one of the things that concerned me throughout the week, now this was Sunday, and I told her no, and I hoped she'd forget about it, and she eventually did. But here's what concerned me, is that as a realist, sometimes we can squelch vision. Like, look, yeah, that's a great vision, a Dow House, everything. It's just not going to happen. Or, yeah, the picture of heaven on earth, great picture, guys, not going to happen. And so I was convicted throughout the week. And so I went back to my daughter toward the end of the week, and I said, look, remember that vision you had of this Dow House? Yeah. I said, I don't think I can build anything out of wood. We don't have any wood. But we do have some cardboard in the garage. And why don't we bring some cardboard in the house, and you show me what your vision and your picture is, and I'll try to build it. And I did. It was a complete mess. It was terrible. I didn't know what I was doing, but I tried. And we did form something. It wasn't the clear picture she had, but it was something that she could play with. And here's the thing. God wants you to have a clear picture of a preferred future. And the preferred future is that everything around you, if there's anything around you that's not right, that's not like it will be in heaven, physically or spiritually, God can use you to bring what's wrong or what's broken and make it right. Maybe it won't be a full picture of healing. Someone has cancer, and maybe it's healing for a time. It's a partial fulfillment. It's a glimpse. But these are the things that God's doing through us. He's giving us glimpses. We need to be willing to at least take a step and say, yeah, I don't know if this will actually really fulfill the clear picture of being like heaven, but maybe it will be partially, or maybe it will be fully in this situation. That's the vision and the vision that God has for us. And so let's just close in prayer. If you just bow with me in prayer, I want you just to think about for a moment what in your life right now isn't like it will be in heaven. Is it your physical body that you're struggling with? Maybe you have back issues, or maybe you have some disease issues. It's not like it will be in heaven. There's something broken. Maybe it's areas in your marriage. The relationship between you and your spouse isn't the way it will be in heaven, where there'll be absolutely no conflict. Maybe there's conflict right now. Maybe it's your relationship with your kids. There's something that's not quite the way it will be in heaven. Maybe it's a situation at your job. We see brokenness all around us. What's the clear picture of the future? And how does God want to use you? Maybe it's simply by praying first. And He'll continue to use all of us. And so, Lord, we commit our hopes and dreams to You, and we align our hopes and dreams with Yours. As we read the way You taught us to pray, may Your will be done on earth, here and now, right where we're at, as it will be in heaven, and as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.